This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Christian Healthcare Ministries, an affordable, faith-based solution for Christians to the problems of rising healthcare costs. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We're honored that you're here with us. I am your host, Chris Brown, and just wanted to remind you today of one of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Do you know what that means? It means, folks, if you're listening to my words right now, you can stop worrying. God is planning a future for you, and He is giving you hope. Does anyone need hope today? I know that I always need a little bit more hope, and hopefully that encourages you. Remember, you can always call or email us with your questions and testimonies. 866-357-3283. 866-357-3283. And if you want to email in, you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Now, we are in for a treat today. We've got an amazing show. I'm excited to introduce our guest, and we are praying it will challenge you, and it'll bring you hope. You may have seen today's guest recently on SportsCenter's Featured on ESPN. He is a former safety for the University of Tennessee. His dream was to play for the NFL, but on September 9th, 2006, his life changed forever. But he did not let his story end there. He went on to get his bachelor's degree, master's degree also from the University of Tennessee. And he is now inspiring audiences all over the world with his story of perseverance. And he proves that the impossible is indeed possible. Welcome author and speaker, Inky Johnson, to the True Stewardship Show. Man, welcome, man.
Man, thank you so much. It's an honor.
Yeah, it was great to share the stage with you in Atlanta, at Smart Conference.
Awesome.
And those of you listening in and you're in the Atlanta area, you know what I'm talking about. He brought the house down. Very, very cool stuff. Excited about Houston being right around the corner. So, listen, I just gave everybody a little bit of a teaser story. Mm-hmm. Not everyone knows about it. Right. But let's go all the way back to childhood as we start off today. Again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to give people hope. Your story does exactly that. So your story begins in a two-bedroom house, yep, a rough neighborhood, 13 family members that lived right there in Atlanta, right?
Yes, sir.
We're not in Atlanta right now. We're broadcasting actually from Dave Ramsey's studio today. We bring in our best guest in the Dave Ramsey studio. But how did those years of obviously some tension, obviously some brutal upbringing circumstances, how did that shape you?
I shaped and molded the principles that I live by today. You know, when you come up in that two-bedroom home and it's, you know, you all sleeping on the floor, roaches and rats, things like that. We got the opportunity to sleep in a bed one night out of the week. You know, it'd be six of us in the bed, three at the foot, three at the head. Mm. But it taught me a spirit of gratitude. You know, it taught me a spirit of being faithful. It taught me a spirit of hard work. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you come up that way, you share clothes. You know, it was certain nights that we didn't eat, yeah, you know, when we were children. And so I was always involved in sports. I was a four-sport athlete. So you can only imagine coming home after practice and going in the kitchen and there's nothing to eat and you got to wait until the next morning to go to breakfast at school. Mm-hmm. And so it taught me a certain spirit and it made me, you know, learn how to deal with things on a certain level to where when I faced opposition, adversity, and challenges, mm-hmm, my perspective was different. It was always a certain level of hope that, yeah, I'm dealing with this right now, but I'll get through it.
Yeah, yeah. And so now you're taking that childhood experience and you're speaking all over the place and you've written a book. Tell us a little bit about your book.
The book, Inky, An Amazing Story of Faith and Perseverance. And so the way it came about, you know, I'm speaking and doing things like that, and that's great. But I wanted to have a tool, you know, that I can put in people's hands. So when I left their presence, they can have something to revert back to. Mm. They can still serve as a source of encouragement, a source of inspiration, a source of hope, a source of motivation.
Yeah, that's good.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Christians have an alternative to overwhelming health insurance costs. Christian Healthcare Ministries, the original healthcare sharing ministry, satisfies its members' Affordable Care Act eligibility. Christian Healthcare Ministries isn't insurance. It's 70% less expensive than the national health insurance average. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited charity. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a proud sponsor of Dave Ramsey Live Events.
Well, folks, if you're just tuning in, we are talking with Inky Johnson, recently featured on SportsCenter on the show Featured, and he's the former safety of the University of Tennessee. And told everyone earlier, if you're just chiming in right now, that on September 9th, 2006, something really dramatic happened in your life. Tell us a little bit about what happened.
September 9th, 2006, we were playing against Air Force. And so it's the fourth quarter of the game, a little bit over 2 minutes left, game practically over. And I go to make a tackle, and I have made this tackle over 1,000 times. You know, I've been playing a game since I was 7 years old. And when I hit the guy, it seemed as if every breath in my body left, and I found myself in the emergency room, you know, fighting for my life. I had busted up subclavian artery in my chest and bleeding internally. They got to rush me back, take the main vein out of my left leg, plug it into my chest in order to save my life. So now the game of football, it was there,
yeah,
but they just had to save my life behind the game of football. And so my perspective about life changed. Not that I wasn't grateful for life before, but I just almost died behind the game of football. And the next morning I woke up and I still have life. And so it was just a thing of pressing forward and dealing with it and figuring out a way to use that situation and that circumstance to add value to my teammates and add value to the world.
Well, so I've got two different things going on in my brain right now. You've got this huge tragedy that happened on September 9th, 2006. You've got this upbringing. You've got these two team components.
Absolutely.
Where you know how to handle a team. You know how to think about others. You just talked about that you were thinking about the team.
Absolutely.
In that moment.
Right.
That's weird.
Right.
That's really weird. Do you think that maybe childhood got you prepared for that, where you're thinking about others, not just yourself?
So what happened when I was growing up, my uncles, a lot of them were dealing drugs, you know, going in and out of prison. And the environment that I came up in is drugs, is gangs, is violence, is everything under the sun.
Yeah.
And so I had people that came into my life at certain points in times that helped me, you know, and they didn't have to, outside people. They would just come and take a personal interest in me and tell me, hey, kid, don't let your circumstances define your life. Hey, man, I want to sign you up. I want to put you in this, because my mother had me at 16.
Yeah.
So a lot of things she couldn't afford. Like, my mother didn't even pay for me to start playing football. A coach did. A coach riding down the street in a pickup truck saw me and my guys playing tackle football in the street. And one night I asked him, he dropped me off at home. I said, why do you do this? Because where I come from, people don't just do things for you.
Yeah.
It's always a catch 22. I pat you on your back, you're going to pat me on my back. And he told me something, and it shaped the way that I live my life. He said, son, the thing I want to tell you is this. As long as you always make sure that somebody else's life is okay, God will always make sure that your life is okay.
Mm.
And when he said that to me, everything that I approach and every situation I went into it with the spirit of collective character.
Yeah.
Like, it was cool for me to do well, but I wanted to make sure everybody around me was doing well, because I knew if everybody around me was doing well, it created the right environment.
Wow. You know, words are so powerful. We talk about that a lot on this show. And obviously, that was some words that were spoken to you that led you in a positive direction.
Absolutely.
My guess is that if you were around all of this junk when you were a kid, you had some people telling you that you were going to be nothing, or you were going to be useless, or you were going to be on your way to prison. I'm sure you've had people have those kind of words work against you as well. Tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. I'll never forget, you know, first day of high school. And I attended Crim High School. They called it Crime High in Atlanta. Had a reputation. And so when we used to go to high school, we had to go through a metal detector.
Mm.
And so I remember getting patted down by this cop. And so as he's patting me down, he says, what's your plan, little man? I said, I'm going to go D1. I'm going to go to college. And he says, you'll probably end up in cell block D1.
Oh,
and
wow.
He goes to walk off. And so I chased him down. I patted his chest. I'm like, no, man, you got the wrong guy. Mm. And he was like, let me ask you something. He said, didn't your uncles attend the same school? I said, yes, sir. He said, couldn't they play sports? Weren't they great athletes? I know you're an athlete. like, yes, sir. He said, aren't two of them serving 13 years and 40 years at the federal penitentiary? I was like, yep. He said, exactly. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You'll probably end up in cell block D1. He went to walk off again. I chased him down. I patted his chest. And I was like, man, listen, I don't know who you've been dealing with, but you ain't dealt with me.
Wow.
You got the wrong guy. He said, we'll see. And I was the first guy I went to see when I got my scholarship from Tennessee.
Wow. There's a Toby Keith song that says, how do you like me now?
How do you like me now?
That would be great if you went back and sang that to him. That'd
how
be
do
so
you
perfect.
Like me now?
Well, we talked to a lot of folks on the show about that, about the power of words.
Absolutely.
But we on the show, we talk a lot about stewarding our lives, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. That's the definition of stewardship. And
absolutely.
A lot of times our minds automatically gravitate towards finances,
right.
Money,
right.
That paycheck. Next, it would gravitate towards our marriages.
Right.
Next, it would gravitate towards probably parenting. Mm-hmm. Then it would be our work lives. Mm. But very few times do we actually think through our past.
Hmm.
How do you steward that horrible upbringing?
Wow.
How do you steward that horrible thing that happened in September of 2006? You say you don't see all that, the hard road, as a curse.
Absolutely.
You see it as an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
You know, I've always, you know, looked at life with the perspective that the things we go through, you know, we have an opportunity to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in terms of being a steward, you know, with adversity, with opposition, and with challenges, I just believe every day of my life, if God blesses me with life, the least I can do is strive to be the best version of myself, to give God that return on investment for life. And so what I mean by that is when I went through that injury September 9th, 2006, yeah, I got an injury. Yeah, I got a paralyzed right arm and hand. Yeah, my little dream that I had since I was 7 years old. Yeah, it's gone. What? So what now? Right? It happened. Now, what are you going to do about it? Right? Are you going to cry? Are you going to whine? Are you going to throw a pity party? Say, whoa, it's me. Why did this have to happen to me? People, things happen every day.
Yeah.
And so I had an opportunity. Now, Ink, what are you going to do? Will the real you please stand up? Right?
Yeah.
You've been playing football. You've been in this helmet. You've been this athlete. You've been tall your whole life. You know, everybody been telling you how fast you can run, how high you can jump. But now you've been faced with something that's a lot tougher than you. And now your true character has to show. And I think people don't like adversity, not so much because adversity, you know, it introduces people into who they really are. People don't really like the adversity. They don't like who they find out they really are.
Wow.
And so when adversity reveals who a person really is, they're like, man, I go in the shell, right? They go in the shell because of adversity. And so I just believe you're called to be a true steward no matter what happens over the blessings and the burdens.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to be a blessing over my burden, what some consider it to be.
Yeah. I think about what that guard did to you and told you cell block D1. Then I think about probably what maybe some of your self-conscious says to you occasionally, tries to say to you.
Absolutely.
And the odds can say to you as far as a speaker and author and going out and just making sure that you leverage what happened.
Absolutely.
And I can just picture you, like, as you battle with your subconscious, kind of the tap on the chest. And say, no, Inky ain't going down like that.
Absolutely.
I can just, and in my head, that's the way I play it out. But very cool stuff.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Well, if you're looking to sell your home, did you know the real estate agent that you choose has the power to make or break your home sale? Yes, some of you have been there before. I know there are hundreds of agents right where you live, so how do you know which one is the right one? Well, first, I recommend finding an agent with the heart of a teacher who has at least 5 years of experience and closes a minimum of 40 homes per year. And that's why we created the Endorsed Local Provider Program. All of our real estate ELPs are in the top 5% of agents nationwide. So if you're looking for a top agent, not just an agent, a top agent that you can trust with your largest financial asset, make sure you work with the very best. Just go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, and then you want to click on Find an ELP to get started. Don't cheat yourself out of thousands of dollars when you sell your home. Go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, then click on Find an ELP, and you'll be all set to go.
We appreciate you joining us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And leave us a voicemail. Let's get back to Chris.
Folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and today in studio, actually in Dave Ramsey's studio, we have on the show today Inky Johnson, recently on SportsCenter's Featured, and also a former safety of the University of Tennessee. So, Inky, let's get back to your story. One of the favorite things I've heard you say, and I love this, it says, things don't happen to you. They happen for you. That's a big thing for you to say. Absolutely. It's one thing for someone who's had everything great in their life to say that, but you say that. It's how you respond to it. So tell us a little bit more about that.
You know, when I say things don't happen to you, they happen for you. I just believe everything is interconnected, you know, and it's our responsibility to get the lesson from whatever we go through and whatever we face.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we're not being students of life. And so when things happen, they happen to us. But we don't make them happen for us, meaning we don't go back and extract the lesson or the mentality or the drive or the level of commitment from it to apply to other areas of our life. And what I mean by that is, okay, I played football ever since I was 7.
Yeah.
Worked out. Got up Saturday mornings, 4:30, 5 o'clock, 2 miles to a fire station, 2 miles back home. In the park, 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, with my mother sitting in an old beat up, broke down Buick Regal, no hubcaps. Chasing this dream to go to the NFL, sleeping on the floor, roaches and rats, you know, chasing this dream. And so when I could no longer play, it wasn't the mentality of, okay, I'm exiting the game and I'm not taking anything away from it. When they told me I could no longer play and I hung the jersey, I hung the cleats, I hung the pads up, I said, okay, cool, I can no longer play. But let me get that mentality from football.
Yeah.
Let me get that dedication from football. Let me get that level of commitment from football. And now I'm going to apply this to being a father. Now I'm going to apply this to being a husband. Now I'm going to apply this to being a man and a productive citizen. It didn't happen to me. It happened for me because I was able to walk away from the game with things that were just as valuable as when I played the game.
Every single person has a story. They have some difficulties to overcome. What would you say to people who are maybe they're listening in right now, and they're not talking about childhood. Right. They're in the middle of it right now. They're in the middle of their struggle. Or maybe they're trying to overcome their past, and they haven't been as effective at overcoming their past as you have. What would you say to them?
Everything has an expiration date. You know, no storm lasts forever. Everything has to stop. After the rain comes the sunshine and the rainbow. It's just if you're willing to outlast it or not.
Yeah.
You know, because we all go through things. We all face things. You know, we all get hit with life. Life faces everybody. You're on one track. You think things are going great. Life will just come and smack you upside down, turn your life upside down. And you're left standing looking like, man, what happened? Mm-hmm. And so everything has an expiration date.
Yeah.
Make up in your mind that you're not quitting. You're not checking out. And you're not going to let it beat you. And before long, life has to give. Yeah. It's kind of like if you're in a battle. And if you want it badder than the next person, 9 out of 10 times you're going to get it.
Yeah.
But you have to push yourself to that limit. I always say, the thing is, most people have what it takes, but they just don't understand sometimes it's going to take everything you got.
Wow. That's so good. And you think about, we talk about debt on here on the show a lot. And well, I always tell folks that you can fall into debt, but you can't fall out. Mm. And it takes a lot of that tenacity that you're talking about, that urgency. When you talk, I feel like I'm in the huddle. I feel like I'm actually in the huddle. It's like, you know, it's just, oh, it's like fourth quarter. Everyone's got their fists up.
Baby.
I love it. That's so cool. I just love what sports has done for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Those of you who are parents and you're like, oh, another activity, going to the ball field. It's deeper than just pads. It's deeper than the equipment. What they're learning is how to overcome adversity. They're learning teamwork, perseverance. And one of the things, one of the keys to success you talk about, which I'm sure you learned from sports as well, and obviously learned with your relationship with Christ, but stay faithful. That's one thing you say often, stay faithful. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not talking about necessarily filling a seat on the Sunday morning, are you? even though there's nothing wrong with that, that's actually
absolutely.
Great. We actually recommend that on the
show.
That's not what you're talking about. What do you mean by stay faithful?
You know, like in the Bible when it talks about stay faithful over a few things and God will make you ruler. Over many things. And what I found is more times than not, we're not faithful for where we are. We're not faithful for what we have, but we want more and we want to be in a better position, but we're not faithful for where we are. And so when I was a kid and we were coming up in that 2-bedroom home, I'll never forget it. With the roaches and rats and everything, me and my grandmother. And so I would be on the floor, you know, and I'll be scrubbing that floor, you know, just looking at that square in the eyes like, grandma, we're right here right now, but one day things are going to change. We're going to be faithful mm-hmm. with where we are right now, but one day things are going to change. It's even when I played sports and I played ball, like I didn't have to play football. Nobody told me, son, you have to play football. Yeah. Nobody, right? They told me, they came at me and they said, listen, I don't care if you wash cars. I don't care if you work at McDonald's. You're going to be the best car washer. You're going to be the best worker at McDonald's, meaning you're going to be faithful over whatever you're blessed to be able to do, and you're going to do it with a certain level of excellence and a certain standard and a high expectation. You're going to be faithful where you are, so one day you can be a ruler over many. But most people, we're not faithful for where we are. We complain, we whine, we talk about it, yeah. just keep talking about it. Just be faithful
yeah.
and watch what happens. Watch what you become. Watch the situation. Watch where life takes you. Watch where God takes you. Mm-hmm. If you would just be faithful where you are.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's so good. And you heard at the SMART conference, I'd mentioned that that gratitude is so huge in our lives, and
wow.
that most people, you know, complain like 30-something times a day or something like that. And surely in your life, you've had a time where you've had a little pity party.
Right.
You've had a time where you're just like, poor Inky. Mm. I would think that would be something that would come up. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
Did that do anything for you?
No. Not at all.
Did it change your circumstances?
Not at all.
Make anything
made
better?
Made it worse.
Yeah.
Made it 10 times worse.
And it made it worse. Let's dive into that a little bit. What mm-hmm. does it do internally for us when we just whine?
Oh, man, it eats us up.
Yeah.
You know, it eats us up from the standpoint of, and this is how I started to look at it. When I whined or when I were negative about a situation or my perspective was a little bit jaded, it didn't help me, but most importantly, it didn't help the people around me.
Yeah.
Like, more times than not, we got people around us depending on us, and they feed off of us.
Yeah.
You know, and we go into a situation, and we're selfish, and we let our emotions play with us and trick us. We ride the emotional roller coaster. Then the people around us do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up hurting someone.
Yeah.
You know, simply because I tell people all the time, it's nothing worse than, you know, paying for the mistakes of others because somebody didn't man or woman up and deal with their emotions in the right way and not whine and not complain and just simply got the job done.
Yeah.
It does nothing for us.
Yeah, that's such a good reminder. Our natural skin wants to whine.
Oh, man.
Whether it's out loud
right.
or it's internal.
Right.
A lot of folks are doing it internally.
Right.
You might be complaining right now. Okay, Chris, so next question. Hey, quit whining. So you spoke at Atlanta or SMART Conference, mm-hmm. and now we got Houston coming up. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you want to jump in on that SMART Conference in Houston, head over to stewardship.com. We've got a great, right under the events tab, upper right-hand corner, you can check out more about the SMART Conference. Inky's going to be bringing the thunder once again. When you're on stage
mm-hmm.
and you're looking at people in their eyeballs and you're just like, the light bulb's going off, what are you hoping they're getting?
I'm hoping that, you know, when they're seeing me speak or hear me speak, that it's something to where they're looking at it and saying, oh, man, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, it's empowering to them. Like, man, if he could do that, if
yeah.
he can get through that, if he can look at that like that, maybe I can do this a little bit better, or maybe I can take this approach with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know? So hopefully it's just a mirror for them to be empowered.
Yeah, that's really, really good. So you not only have, you know, cataloged all this in your talks mm-hmm. all over the country, but you've also cataloged this in your book.
Sure.
And if someone's picking up your book this week, mm-hmm. they're opening up, they're reading it all in one sitting or two or three sittings, that back cover is closing.
Sure.
What is that one thought that you want them to have?
I would say I would want them to appreciate life
mm-hmm.
wherever they land.
Yeah.
With the understanding that no matter what I face, no matter what I go through, God has an incredible plan for my life.
Yeah.
Like no matter what I hit, no matter what I encounter, no matter what life throws my way, God has an incredible plan for my life. That's why at the foundation of everything I do is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. That's not man talking. That's
yeah.
not woman talking. That's the Lord.
Mm.
When the Lord has a plan for your life, his plan for our lives far exceeds the circumstances of our days.
Yeah, well, that's a great way for us to end the show, kind of bookending. That's how we started the show, Jeremiah 29:11. And, man, we really, really appreciate your time. Excited about Houston.
Man, thank you, guys.
And, dude, you're a very inspiring guy.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, very, very inspired by you and your story. And you really have been faithful. Yeah, very faithful. Well, folks, the book is called Inky Johnson, An Amazing Story of Faith and Perseverance. We'll have a link for you right there at stewardship.com. If you're interested at all in the Smart Conference that's coming to Houston this weekend. Make sure you check that out at stewardship.com as well. And you can find out more about Inky on his website, inkyjohnson.com. And how do they connect with you on social media?
On all social media platforms, it's at Inky Johnson. So InkyJohnson.
So you actually got your name?
Yep. Got my name.
Yeah. Well, my name is Chris Brown. So I'm just going
to
go ahead and say Chris Brown wasn't available. So I am Chris Brown on air. Folks, again, Chris Brown on air for the show. And if you have any questions at all for us or any comments about today's broadcast, be sure to reach out to us, Chris Brown on air. Stewardship.com is the website. Folks, we appreciate you tuning in today. A good thing for you to do, check out the book of, check out Paul's writings about trials. Look that up, trials and how to look at trials. Shipwrecked, abandoned, beaten, whipped. And Paul explained a lot of the things that we talked about today. Remember, folks, Jeremiah 29:11, there is hope. God bless y'all.